Hello.
And welcome to this week's broadcast for the Youth Church. And this one is for the Ignite group, which is kids from reception up to year six. So I hope you are well. And for some of you that have gone to school, I hope you're enjoying being at school. And that is not too difficult to keep to the new rules that we all have to learn. So well done, you. So today's broadcast is for Sunday, the 7th of June, and we're continuing our Wonder Women of Power. This is the last woman that we're looking at. We're looking at the book of Ruth. But before we get to that, let us just have a little quiz, something to get your little brain cells working. Okay, so I am thinking of an item, and you've got five clues to work out what that item is. Start off with 5 points. And then work it down. The more clues you get, the less points you get. So good luck. It's just for fun. So for 5 points, this item can be used to carry different things. What could that be? Ha ha ha. You have to think. Okay, for 4 points, this item can be made of different types of materials. So, does that help at all? For 3 points, this item can have holes in its structure. It can have little holes or big holes, really. It can just have any type of holes in its structure. For 2 points, this item can be attached to a bicycle at the front or the back. Does that help? Does that make it easier for you to guess what the item I'm thinking of is? And the last clue is that when he was a baby, Moses was hidden in this item. Oh, does that make it very, very easy, I wonder? If you guessed I was thinking of a basket, then you're right. I was thinking of a basket. So that was just for fun. And I hope you enjoy these little games and little things that we do. So today we're looking at the book of Ruth. I love the book of Ruth. It's one of my go-to to learn a lot of life lessons. Because of the type of character that Ruth was. Ruth was a very, very... Oh, she was a lovely, lovely girl. So what happened is there was a man who was living in Jerusalem. And his name was Elimelech. And he had his wife, Naomi, and they decided to leave Bethlehem and go to a place called Moab. This was not a very good idea, really, because Bethlehem was the place that was known to have God in it. And Moab was a place that was known to not have God in it. So it didn't seem like a really good idea. They had two sons called Malo and Chilion, which were not very good names either to have. Because if you look into the meaning of them, those names meant sickness and feeling ill. So it was like those were not very good names to give your children. But there we have it. Elimelech and his wife Naomi and their two sons, Malo and Chilion, moved from Bethlehem and went to live in the city, in the town of Moab. Now, in Moab, you know, they were doing the best they can. And unfortunately, Elimelech died. And so Naomi was just left with her and her two sons. Now, the two sons grew up and they took wives from the people of Moab. And one of the girls was called Orpah, and the name of the second girl was Ruth. And they lived there for about 10 years. And then, unfortunately, both the sons, Malo and Chilion, also died. So the women were left by themselves, Naomi, with her two daughter-in-laws, Orpah and Ruth. So Naomi looks at the whole situation and she decides, right, enough is enough. I have to go back to Bethlehem because she had heard that things were really working out well in Bethlehem, and it was, you know, all the harvest was coming in and things were going well for people in Bethlehem. So she decides to move back to Bethlehem, and she says to Orpah and Ruth, I am going back to the place where I grew up, but you don't belong there because you really belong in the country of Moab. So you can stay. You can go back to your parents' house and you can try and get married again and try and have good lives for yourselves. But you don't have to come with me because I really don't have anything to offer you. I don't have any sons that you can marry. And I really don't know what it's going to be like when I go back. So why don't you just go back to your father's house so that you can try and make the best of your life? And Orpah says, okay, that's fine. She goes back to her father's house. But Ruth is a completely different story. And Ruth says, no, I want to go with you. And Naomi says, don't be silly. Just go back to your father's house and try and make the best of the life that you have left. And Ruth is very adamant. She is stubborn. And she says, no, I want to go with you. I don't want to go back to my father's house. So where we pick it up, where we start looking at the specific life lessons, we're looking at Ruth chapter 1, and we're looking at verse 16, which I'm just flicking through here to find in my Bible. And this is Ruth's response to when Naomi is telling her to go back. I mean, they're very sad. There's a lot of sadness in this separation. And so Naomi is telling Ruth, go back to your father's house because I don't have anything to offer. And in verse 16, chapter 1, Ruth says, don't urge me to leave you or to turn back from you. Where you go, I will go. And where you stay, I will stay. Your people will be my people and your God, my God. Where you die, I will die, and there I will be buried. May the Lord deal with me, be it ever severely, if even death separates you and me. Now, I mean, these are really, really strong words, really, really powerful and determined person. She says, look, I'm even willing to die where you die. Whichever God you serve, I will serve, because the people of Moab didn't serve God. So Ruth was making a really, really big decision here. And that's the first lesson I want you to learn from the story of Ruth. At this point, Ruth decides to put aside everything she has ever known as a girl growing up and everything else. She decides to follow Naomi and Naomi's beliefs. Now, Naomi serves the one true God that we serve. And at this point, it is like Ruth is making a decision to serve God with all of her heart, with everything that she has, with her hair and her shoes. Everything. She is fully committed. She says, I will die with you. Okay. And this is similar to when we make a decision to serve God. If you feel in your heart that you want to be a child of God, this is how serious it is. You are not just saying, God, I will love you and serve you and praise you on Sunday. You are saying, I will praise you on Monday and Tuesday and Wednesday and Thursday and Friday and Saturday and Sunday and the following week and the following month and the following year, that I am in this completely. My head, my toe, my feet, everything. I am with you, God. I will die for my faith in you. And that is really a big, big decision, because you are saying, I will praise you when I look at my bedroom. I will praise you with my actions, with my thoughts, with the television programs I watch. This is a full commitment. And this is what it is like to be a Christian. When you ask Jesus to come into your life and to be your Lord and Savior, you are not just asking him to talk gently to you. You are asking him to help you make decisions in your life that are good and that are right, and that follow the word of God. And you are fully committing that everything, even the things you think, that you want God to control that. that you want God to help you make decisions about COVID-19, to make decisions about your school. Maybe you might be in year six and you're thinking about your school for next year, or you might be in year five and you're thinking about your 11 plus, or you might be in year four and you're thinking about your new teachers for next year. Whatever it is, you are giving all of those decisions over to God. And you are saying, I want you to help me to lead the life you want me to lead. So it is a full commitment. It is an absolute commitment. It is saying, I will join the sports and the clubs and that you want me to be part of. I will have the friends that you want me to have. And I will behave in the way that makes you happy. It's a full commitment. And that is it. That's what it is like when you give your life to God, which is a lot. It's asking a lot, because it's asking you to stop living your life the way you were used to growing up, or the way that you have known up to now, and to change completely. It is a complete and utter change. Ruth grew up worshipping different gods and idols in her father's house, because that is what the people of Moab used to do. But now she was having to change her religion, change what she believed in, and follow one God. And she specifies that to Naomi. And she says, your God will be my God. Your people will be my people. Wherever you die, I will die. That means that if your God doesn't provide for us, I'm going with you. I'm still going to go with you. And she makes a decision that tells Naomi that nothing is going to turn me away from being with you. I think being with you is the most important decision I can make in my life. I am not looking to get married to your sons, because obviously the sons have died. And I'm not looking for things I can get from you, because Naomi didn't have anything. They had left Bethlehem, and her and Elimelech had come over, and she was a widowed woman, which meant at that time she didn't have a husband to look after her or to go and work or provide for her. But Ruth says, that's not important to me. I don't care about that. I believe and I trust your God to look after us so much that I'm willing to stake my life on it. I believe that God is going to look after us, and I'm taking that chance. I will just take that chance and jump in there feet first. But you could tell that Ruth had thought about this. This wasn't a sudden decision that she had made, because if you look back a little bit further back, if we look at if we look at chapter 1, it starts off in verse 8. Naomi says to her two daughters-in-law, go back, each of you, to your mother's house. May the Lord show you kindness as you have shown kindness to your dead husbands and to me. And may the Lord grant that each of you will find rest in the home of each and find another husband. And she kisses them goodbye, and they all weep and they cry and they say, we want to go back to you, to your people. But Naomi says, return home, my daughters. Why would you come with me? Am I going to have any more sons who will become your husbands? Go back home, my daughters. I am too old to have another husband. And even if I was, and there was any hope for me, even if I had a husband and gave birth to a son, would you wait that long until they grew up? Would you remain unmarried for them? And she says, no, go, my daughters, while you are still young. And Naomi here shows her character. She says, it is bitter for me that you are with me, because God has turned against me. So Naomi is not a very great person to be with at the moment. She is feeling bitter and twisted and angry, and she feels like she has nothing to offer these girls. And she says to them, I've got nothing for you, okay? So go to your parents' house. Go and try and get married again. You're still young. You can still have a great life. Go and do that. And Orpah is like, okay, fine. It takes her a long time. It takes both of them, Ruth and Orpah, both. Neither of them want to leave Naomi. So it shows that Naomi must have been kind to them. She must have been good to them before. And they must have seen Naomi, Elimelech, Mahlon and Chilion all praising God and all worshipping God, which would have been the normal thing to be doing around their house. So they've learned something about this God. Orpah is able to turn away and to go back to her to her family. But Ruth clings to Naomi, it says in verse 14. And Ruth is just like, nope, I'm not, there's no other option for me. I'm not giving myself another choice. And that's what it's like when we give our heart to God. We should not look for another option. We should not look for ideas that are outside of what God says we should do. We should live our lives the way God says we should live our life. I love that about Ruth. Ruth is absolutely determined that she's seen a good thing in Naomi and how God looks after Naomi, that she thinks it is worthwhile even to die for this faith. And that's amazing. That absolutely amazes me. Now, the second thing that we can learn from Ruth is if we go to Ruth chapter 3 and verse 18. This is, so then Ruth and Naomi go back to Bethlehem and Naomi is really miserable. And she says to all her relatives, don't call me Naomi, call me Mara, which means depressed and very, very sort of like feeling low type of person. And then God starts working good things into Ruth and Naomi's life. Ruth doesn't sit down and wallow and mope and sulk and wonder what she's doing here with this miserable mother-in-law. She gets up and she goes to work and she looks for work and she looks for food for her and Naomi. And she ends up meeting this guy called Boaz. Now, Boaz is a rich guy who's got fields. And Ruth starts picking up grains from his field. He's very impressed by Ruth. And Naomi then tells Ruth, well, you know, Boaz is one of our relatives and he could be a husband to you. So Ruth works with Naomi. She follows what Naomi tells her to do. And she goes and makes herself known to Boaz. And she offers herself up to him as a wife. And Boaz sends her back to Naomi and says, we have to do things the right way, okay? Because leave it with me, I will deal with this. And the second part of our lesson today is when in chapter 3, verse 18, if we start from verse 16, Ruth comes back to her mother-in-law and her mother-in-law says, is that you, my daughter? And then Ruth tells Naomi everything that has happened with Boaz and how Boaz has sent her back and said that he will deal with the whole situation. In verse 13, Ruth gives some of the gifts that Boaz has given her. She gives them to Naomi. And because Boaz says, I don't want you to go empty handed to your mother-in-law. So he gives her some barley. And then Naomi says in verse 18, sit down, my daughter, until you know how the matter will turn out. For this man will not rest until he has concluded the matter this day. And it's like, I love that bit because it just reminds me of how much God loves us. And when God is on your case, when God is doing something for you and you have prayed and you have asked him for help, this is how much God is helping you. This is how much God goes out to help you. When Naomi says, wait, my daughter, until you find out what happens, for the man will not rest until this matter is settled today. And that is what God wants us to do. He wants us to have that much faith in him that we can wait until we find out what happens. Because God will not rest until our case, our matter, whatever problem we have taken to him, until that is settled. And I love that because I think that's one of the things that we struggle with as people. That when we pray and we say, oh yes, Lord, I'm giving you this problem. I'm asking you to do this for me. And then it's like God then takes it and puts it away or plants it in the ground. And then we come and we dig it up again. And we're like, oh, Lord, it's not settled. This matter hasn't been sorted out. This is not right. This is not right. I'll deal with it. Okay, which is the wrong thing to do. Because remember how Ruth gave her life to Naomi and to all of that, which I said is similar to when we give our lives to Christ. Well, when we do that, God does everything else for us. He helps us when we are tired. He can give us strength. He helps us when we don't have stuff. He can give us what we need. He doesn't give us what we want. He gives us the things that we need so that we do not lack any good things, so that we never run out of the good things that God wants us to have. So it's a give and take. And that's the two things I want you to learn from Ruth today, that when you give your life to God, like Ruth did in Ruth chapter 1, verse 16, He takes care of everything and He will not rest until your matter is settled. Then He does Ruth chapter 3, verse 18. He does everything that needs to be done. All you have to learn to do is to wait. Just wait. Just wait. Hold on. Don't move. Don't go digging up your problems. Don't go worrying about it. Don't go crying to your friends. Once you've prayed, just wait. Just wait. He's going to do it. You have to trust in God. You have to believe that He will not sleep and He will not rest until your matter is settled. That He is doing it, even though you can't see it. He is doing something about it because He cares for you and He loves you that much that He will not rest, He will not wait until it is finished, until it is completely settled and you have a peaceful answer. And that's exactly what happens in Ruth. She waits. Boaz starts running around. He starts sorting things out. He finds out that there's another relative who should get married to Ruth first, who should be asked whether he wants to get married to Ruth. And when he finds out that Ruth would come with a large field, he's really happy. And he's like, oh, yes, I'll marry her. But then when he discovers that if he marries Ruth, then all the children that Ruth will have to bear Chilion's name, then he's like, oh, well, maybe not, because they are not really going to be my children. But he really misses out on a great opportunity. We've mentioned it before that Ruth is one of the few women who are on the bloodline of Jesus Christ. She's one of the people that are mentioned in Matthew chapter 1 to say this person and this person and then this person had this child and this person had this child. Oh, and suddenly there was Ruth, who was the wife of Boaz, who was the father of Obed, who was the father of Jesse, who was the father of King David. Ta-da! Very, very important family tree that, because out of David's line came Jesus. So this relative really missed out on a great opportunity there. But, we have to really thank God that, one, He can help us to make that serious decision. God will speak to your heart. And if you feel this is what you want to do, ask your parents to help you pray. No matter what age, you can make that decision to ask Jesus to come into your heart. And then you'll probably have to make it a few other times later on as you get older. And just to make sure you've made the right decision and that you're really happy with it and that you want Jesus to really come into your life. Because as you get older, life gets tougher, unfortunately. I hate to break it to you like this, but there we are. And that's what happens. But the tougher it gets, the stronger Jesus gets and the more He can help your life. So you're never too young to really make a decision to say, I want Jesus to come into my life and to live with me and to help me to live a good life and a happy life. Because Jesus can really help you that even though We're still in lockdown. We're still having COVID-19. Some of us have been allowed to go to school. Some of us are not. Some of us are facing the 11 plus in September. Some of us might feel unprepared. Some of us might feel really weak. Some of us might feel bored. Whatever you're going through, Jesus can help you to feel better. And he will not rest until things are settled and sorted out for you. And I love that about Ruth. I love that about the story, that it shows us these two sides of our lives with God. So I hope you've enjoyed looking at the Wonder Women of Power. We've looked at Rebecca, Abigail. We've looked at, who else did we look at? We looked at Rahab. And last week, who did we look at? We looked at Abigail. We looked at Deborah, who was a judge. And now we've looked at Ruth. So from next week, now that we've had this opportunity to make a decision to hold on to God and to say, I want Jesus to come into my life, I thought it would be great if we could look at some of the things that Christians should know. Because we are Christians. We're people that go to church. If you're taking the time to listen to this broadcast, you're on the right lines. So I've decided to look at 5 weeks of looking at different things that as Christians we should know. That if somebody were to ask you that, what does God say about this? Or, who are the 12 disciples? Or even the Ten Commandments and things like that. That's what we're going to be looking at over the next 5 weeks. Then I would want you to be able to have an answer. So if you wanted to prepare for next week, we're going to look at John chapter 3, verse 16. And we're also going to look at John chapter 10, verse 10. And that is going to be what we're going to be discussing next week, which is called Things That Christians Should Know. Another thing I wanted to let you know is that we're going to have a special Zoom meeting for kids that are in year 5 and year 6 to meet up on virtual platform on Wednesday the 10th of June at 6 p.m. And for 40 minutes, myself and Lisa will be talking to you and finding out how it's been during lockdown and talking about any problems you've had and also what we can do to help you go through this really, really rather difficult situation. So if your parents are interested in you taking part in this, and if you have not let me know already, then you can do that by sending an email to youth@sbc-church.org.uk. You can always find the website find the email address on the church website, or call the church office if parents forget. I think that's it. So let's end with a quick prayer. Oh Lord, I just thank you that there are wonder women of power in the Bible that we can learn amazing things from. I just pray for everybody who's listened today, that whatever stage they are at, whether they are ready to make a decision to follow God now or they are thinking about it, that Lord, you will help them and you will bless them and you will help them to make the right decision for their lives, and that they will feel happy with whatever decisions that they make, and you will bless them in so many different ways. Thank you for being with us all the time, and thank you for helping us to go through really, really difficult situations. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. God bless you. Speak to you next time.